Hallelujah. Late in the midnight hour, when I feel like all hope is gone, you're the center of my joy. You're my music. You're my song. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our scripture reading will be coming from the book of James, chapter 5. That's the book of James, chapter 5, starting at verse 13. We're going to read through verses 16. When you're found, can you please respond by saying amen? Amen. And we find the writers penning each word saying, is any among you afflicted? Let them pray. Is any merry? Let them sing songs. Is any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. Verse 16. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avail much. Dear gracious Father God, in your precious and mighty name, there's a true saying that if we make our boast, let us make our boast in the Lord. And so we boast in you right now, dear Lord, and we have confidence that you're going to bless your people. We know that for a reason, dear Lord, on this very cold day, this very winter morning, that you're going to do something. Somebody needs you right now. And we don't need Brit to do nothing, but we need God to do something. So we invite you, Lord, and ask that you just have your way. Send your anointing amongst your people. And we'd be careful to give you the praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, before I give you my thought, you may be seated. Before I give you my thought that goes along with the scripture that I have read, let me tell you first how we got here, how it came about this particular thought. On Monday nights, every Monday night since I've been here, Bread of Heaven has a special, what we call prayer call. Amen. And we also have words of exhortation for those of you that don't know. So you're free to tune in with us on Monday nights because it's really beautiful. It's really good. And what happened was, a few months ago, I'm not going to call their names, but there was two sisters. Brother Heaven may know what I'm talking about. There was two sisters that, and I think that it was Minister Maxwell that done exhortation that night. And after words of exhortation, Pastor will have another minister come up to pray, or sometimes he'll just open up for comments on verse of exhortation, testimonies, if you want to testify. And I'm not going to bore you with that long, but or anything that probably that you may feel that you need to talk about that won't prolong the service. But if God is in the service, it don't matter how long we're on it, right? So what happened was these two sisters at the end of the prayer call on this particular Monday night had situations in their lives that they was going through like all of us, but they had a need, an urgency for God to do something in their life. They was crying, they was hurting, they was in pain. I don't know about you sometime, but have you ever been to a point you just need God? And if ever you needed God right then and right there. And you just couldn't wait because this was pressing. And so as it was pressing them, Pastor, they told a little bit about what they was going through. Pastor had each minister to pray for them. And of course, the saints and first lady and everybody was praying for these sisters. And we got off the call. Now, here's what happened. This is where my thought came in. Tuesday passed by after the Monday prayer. Prayer never stopped. Prayer never stopped. Anytime you have a prayer, prayer don't stop. Wednesday night came by, Pastor taught a Bible study, and imagine this, church. You ever had God to do something in your life after you done asked him, and God have paved the way and made a way out of no way, and you had a story you want to tell that, you know, it's like you was itching to tell it, but you had to wait. One of the sisters had to wait because she couldn't interrupt Pastor while he was doing his Bible study. But it's like, let me compare it to this. And this is a little humorous. It's a little funny. But it's similar. It has a similarity to it. And one of the similarities to it is like, I don't know if you know, any of y'all know about how a junkie does when a person that's on drugs and they need it so bad they haven't had it in a while and they got an itching and they got a scratch. That's how it is when you want to testify. You got an urgent itch in you and you want to say something, but you got to wait. Because the audience is not prepared yet, but you got to wait. But you got to tell it. You got to release it. You got to get it out because God done it. You can't hold what God done for you in your life. You got to tell somebody. And soon as the pastor got through, the sister got on and she told how the Lord made a way from Monday to Tuesday. Just that quick. But it didn't happen until after we pray. So here goes my thought. What happens, because I brought this up to the church, what happens after you pray? That's what I want to talk to you today about. What happens after you pray? We know that prayer changes things. We know that we need prayer. We know that the power of prayer and how it flows and how it works. But you know what? There's just something about prayer does not work by itself. Of course, we know in mathematics that 1 + 1 = 2 or 2 + 2 = 4. But do we know that prayer without faith doesn't work? So there's got to be some substance to your prayer. There's got to be something added to the prayer because prayer by itself cannot boost like a rocket shooting up to the stars. It needs a boost or your prayer just going to lie right here. So you need that prayer. And that is a little faith. It didn't say much faith. It said just a little faith. That's a grain of a mustard seed. So what happens after prayer depends on you. just for an example, Solomon, after building the temple of God, the one that his father wanted to build, but he could not build. I'm talking about King Solomon. And in the second book of Chronicles, in the fifth chapter, you see that the temple was completed. In the sixth chapter, there was a lot of praises going on. When God gives you a mission and you complete that mission, there ought to be some praise. There ought to be some shouting. There ought to be some gratification that God enabled you to do what he put in your hand to do. And there was some praise, and they praised God, and they lift up the name of God. And then in chapter 6, Solomon built an altar, a scaffold, and he climbed on the scaffold in front of the people, but it was where he put the scaffold. He placed the scaffold in the midst. You know, they had built a temple. David said, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with prayer. They placed the scaffold in the midst of the gate. That's where you enter in. You can't come in no other way. You got to enter in by the gate. And he placed the scaffold and built it in the middle, and climbed on top, fell to his knees, and the first thing he did before he stopped praying to God and asking God for anything, he thanked God. He gave God some praise. He worshiped God. And I think he was paving the way, trying to show us how exactly to pray to God to get God's attention. Sometimes we go straight to the source and say, Lord, I need this and I need that. But sometimes we need to, even when we're going through, press our way and say, Lord, I just want to say thank you. How many of you know that if you praise God, if you praise him, if you worship God, and if you give God your whole heart, and if you magnify God, let him know just how good he is, how good he's been, in spite of what it might be going through. You got to bust through that stuff. Sometimes you got to, in order to get a breakthrough, you got to break through some stuff in your life. You got to move some of that mess out of your way. You got to quit looking at your situation and look to the one who's able to do exceedingly and abundantly all that you can even ask or think. You got to look to the hills from which comes your help. All your help come from the Lord. And sometimes it's just asking God, Lord, I need this, I need that. Lord, I just want to say thank you, because I heard somebody say, can't nobody do me like, who said that? Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody work it like Jesus can work it. Can't nobody do it like Jesus going to do it. And when he do it, you know it's going to be done. It's not going to be half done. He's going to fulfill it. What happens after you pray? Solomon, when he got through praying, and in chapter 7, as he finished the prayer, everybody went home. Solomon was sitting at home. And then chapter 7 of 2 Chronicles, starting at verse 12, said that the Lord appeared unto Solomon and said that I heard your prayer. How many of you want God to hear your prayer? Ain't that the reason we pray? We want some attention. We want God to hear what we're talking about. We want God to receive our prayer, and we want God to act on our behalf, because Lord, this is an emergency call. Lord, I'm in distress. Lord, I'm weary and broken down, dear God, and I need your help, and I can't do it because not in my own strength. And God told Solomon, he said, I heard your prayer. But guess what, church? It didn't happen until after he prayed. What happens after you pray? That's just one example. There was a woman by the name of Fanny Crosby. She lived in the 1800s. But around about the 1870s, she wrote a wrote her very first song. When I was reading this about Miss Crosby, it didn't say whether she was going through anything. It didn't say that. But I'm quite sure that she was, because most of us who have lived have been through some stuff. But what it did say about what I was reading was that Miss Crosby based her song off of two biblical characters. And the two biblical characters you can find in the book of Matthew, chapter 20, starting at verse 30, and it just simply says, "And there was two blind men standing by the wayside, and they heard that Jesus was passing by. And they cried out to him, saying, 'Have mercy on us, Lord, thou son of David.'" And said that after that, the crowd rebuked them, was telling them to be quiet, hold your peace, don't say nothing. But Jesus said, "What will thou have me to do?" And they said unto him, "Lord, that we may receive our sight." When you call on God, you got to tell God what you want. And they said, "Lord, that we may receive our sight." That we, not I, but we may, because there was two blind men. Here goes the point. Two blind men sitting by the wayside. They couldn't see, but they heard. The reason we can't see Christ when he passed by us is because we blinded by our situation. We blinded by our circumstances. We blindsided by what we're going through. We too stuck on what we're going through, and we can't see the forest because of the trees. Stuff is in our way. I heard somebody say, "Trouble in my way, I got to cry sometimes." Yeah, go ahead on and cry. There's nothing wrong with crying. But what I'm trying to say to you, sometimes you got to bust through the bubble so that you can see Christ. Because somebody else said, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." So her song was this: "Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. Why on others thou art calling, do not pass me by." How many of you know or feel sometimes like Christ done passed you by? Or your prayer may not be answered, or he may not hear my prayer, or my prayer not going to heaven, or something's wrong because I've been praying for years about a particular situation and it still haven't come to fruition. How many of you feel sometimes that it just feels like there's no hope for you? No matter how hard you pray, "Oh, I'm at the wrong place. Maybe I need to go down the street. Or am I in the right place?" Because sometimes you feel like God has forgotten about you. But what you got to understand is that the song that she wrote says, "Why on others thou art calling?" And when you look around sometimes, you see other people getting blessed, and then you're still in your stuff. And don't that make you feel some kind of a way? Y'all don't hear me. But don't it make you feel like, what's going on? Lord, what about man? But sometimes we got to wait. The scripture teaches us, and it says, "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart." Wait, I say, on the Lord. And then they come back to say in Isaiah, I think it's 40 and In verse 30, am I right? Or somewhere around there it says, but they that wait on the Lord. You're not waiting on your husband, you're not waiting on your wife, you're not waiting on your children, you're not waiting on your boss to give you a raise. He said, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Aren't you glad we got a God that'll put us in the waiting room? And when he put us in the waiting room, he gives us a number. You're not going to be called till your numbers come, until it's your time. And we may not understand why some people are going before us, but if we wait long enough, and if we let go and let God and let God do what God does, when he blesses us, like he blessed that sister that day on that Wednesday, when you get a story that you just got to tell somebody of the goodness of Jesus and how he made a way out of no way. How when you're feeling down, now you're feeling up. How when you're feeling beside yourself, now you got somebody with you and his name is Jesus. How when you were walking down and bending down like that, now you're straightened up. How when you were all drunk in the spirit, drunk on that alcohol, now you're drunk in the spirit. We serve a God that is able to smooth and pave the road that we can have a blessing and a testimony, because what you're going through is just a test that you can give a testimony to somebody that's coming behind you, because the test is only for you to have a testimony. You got to tell somebody, and if you keep it to yourself, God would 9 times out of 10 won't give you another one because you're selfish. But you got to tell somebody. You got to say, tell somebody, look, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, where would I be? Let's look at our scripture lesson real quick. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the book of James, chapter 5, verse 13, there's 4 areas that I want to talk to you about briefly, not lengthily, but briefly, because I know you're hungry. I know you're tired, and I know it's cold outside. So, the first thing, James points out, if any among you are afflicted, let them pray. According to Langford Dictionary and Oxford Dictionary and Westford Dictionary, it says the same thing. It says that affliction can be some sort of pain that is caused by a situation in your life. That doesn't mean that somebody took a hammer and hit you upside the head, but your affliction can be driven by some kind of a pain. We don't care what kind of a pain it is. Pain is pain, right? Whether it be pain of sorrow, pain of grief, pain is pain. And we don't want to go through no type of stress. And then affliction also can be placed in 3 categories. It can be placed in the category of whether it be physical, spiritual, or natural. But it can be multiple afflictions, because according to Psalms 34, verse 19, it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver him from them all. So that means there's more than one type of affliction. And you can be faced with a whole lot of grief, a whole lot of sorrow. You can have more than one problem stemming at one time. And all that sometimes we call stress. But if you really look at it, the biggest portion of affliction is self-inflicted wound. What do you mean, preacher? Well, you know what? I'm glad you asked. Because if you wouldn't have asked, I wouldn't have told you. Self-inflicted wounds can be like, I'm always shifting the blame. Instead of saying, it's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in need of prayer. My mama said, I wasn't going to amount to much of anything. Or my boss told me that if I didn't straighten up, they were going to have to let me go. Or somebody said this, or somebody done that. Or what about this one right here, saints? Oh, the devil made me do it. We are always shifting the excuse on something else or somebody else, but never really taking the blame for ourselves. But sometimes if we can just say, Lord, as I said before, if ever I need you right now. Because I messed up. I made a mistake. It was me, Lord. I can't blame Sister Malone, Minister Malone. I can't blame that man that tried to run me off the road and then I turned around and threw him a finger. I can't blame somebody, my friend, for saying something to me, trying to help me, then I turn around and say something unpleasant to them. I got to take the blame for myself. And I got to learn how to go to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me. So we're talking about self-inflicted wounds. But the remedy for that is prayer. He says, if any is any afflicted, let them pray. That's number one. Number two, is any married? I like this one because if there's anybody that is not going through anything as of right now, you better take advantage of the now. You better praise God while you got a chance. If God has said to your storm, if he done said to the wind and the rain in your storm, peace, be still. You better take advantage of him and give God some praise. So it said, if any among you are afflicted, you better sing a song. You better praise God. You better give them all you got while you got a chance. Because you don't know when something's going to happen in life. When stuff happens in our life, we weren't expecting it to happen. We didn't invite it to happen. It just came unexpected. And sometimes it took us for a loop. Is anybody in here, can you say amen? Has anybody ever had or wanted your bank account just to be empty? When you look in your bank account and you only got $5 in there, but you got a $500 bill that you got to pay, that you got to meet, $5 is not going to work. Anybody ever looked in the cupboard when they ever seen, and you maybe only have 2 canned goods, but you got 7 chips? 6 or 3 or 4. What about this? You got a vehicle and it's almost on E and you ain't got a dime. You can't even rub 2 pennies together. Stuff happens. And if things are going right, that's what it's saying. If any marry, let them sing song. You better sing to the Lord a new song. You better praise God with what you got. You better praise him while everything is going right. Because there's going to be a time when you're not going to praise God like you want to praise God. There's going to come a time in your life you're not going to praise God like he need to be praised. Because you're going to be so low and heavy laden and burdened down that you're not going to even want to lift your head up. That's two. Number three, it says, is any among you sick? Let them call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil. Watch this. In the name of the Lord. There's two parts of that I want to get to, because number one is, if you come up in a prayer line and whoever's praying for you don't pray for you in that lane, you better Michael Jackson, you better moonwalk. You better get out of that line. If they lay their hands on you and don't pray in the name of Jesus, and they praying for you in the name of something you don't know nothing about, you better get out of that line. Okay, y'all, don't pay me no attention. Something, some kind of demon is going to probably jump. No. Yeah, I am trying to scare you, and I am trying to warn you. And I want you to know that neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved than by the name of Jesus. And it says that if any among you sick, let them call on the elders of the church. If you're going through something, if you're sick, and if you really want to be blessed, do it the Bible way. Call on the elders of the church. Because I truly and firmly believe that the pastor has people in place in whom he trusts. So when we end our church services, he has a prayer line that comes up that he leads, but he has ministers that he trusts to assist him in prayer. You can't let everybody lay their hand on you. You can't let everybody pray for you. But call on the elders of the church that you go to. Your church, the pastor that you say you under. And if you don't trust them, then you need to find another church to go to. But if you trust your pastor, if you believe that he's anointed, if you believe that he's a man of God, if you believe God has called him, and you believe he has a certain amount of anointing on him, then call him. And he'll call the elders. And he'll, or either text us or let us know, pray for such and such. Call on the elders of the church and let them pray over anointing with oil. The anointing of the Lord is very important. Then he says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise them up. But this is where you need to be careful, because it did not say that it will heal. Not yet. The sick. He says, he shall save the sick. Let me tell you why I'm going with that. Because there has been many people that have been healed. Many people that have been saved that have not been healed. My wife, for an example, she was a woman of God. She loved the Lord. She loved the Lord with all her heart. And she loved to praise the Lord. She used to be a praise testimony. She used to stand up in front of the church, and she used to pray, praise and worship the Lord. And every time you talk to her, she's talking about the goodness of Jesus. But she had cancer. Now, I believe with all my heart that he saved her. But she still wasn't healed from the cancer. Because he died from the cancer. This is my point. There have been many people, my dad, which was a preacher, and he died from cancer. I believe he was saved. Sometimes the Lord can save you. You may not be healed from a condition. And so the scripture says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. But the last part of this, verse 16, which is the fourth part that I want to talk to you about, says, confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. Now, then, that you may be healed. Sometimes the reason probably why we're not healed and saved, you can be saved but not healed, is because sometimes there may be some things that you haven't gotten straight. This may be my last Sunday preach. I'm scared to say it, Pastor, I'm scared to say it. Sometimes the reason God hasn't yet healed us from whatever our situation may be, sickness or whatever, is because we have not gotten it right with people. We got to get it right. He says this, how can I forgive you but you haven't forgiven your brother who you see daily? You never seen me before, but you see another person every day. You see this other person every day, but you haven't forgiven. But you come to me, and you want me to forgive you, but you can't forgive them. Doesn't that make sense? Here, pal. And I'm just saying, saints, sometimes, in order to get a complete healing, you got to go to somebody and say, I'm sorry. You got to go and get it right. You got to tell somebody, I messed up. You don't have to go through the long lengthy of what the situation is. Just give them a hug and say, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? It'll never happen again. And be honest about it. Because Jesus says, through the man of God, if you confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that you may be healed. I just don't want to be saved. I want to be healed too. I don't want to walk around with pain in my body. I don't want to walk around feeling guilty about what I done to somebody, and I never got it straight. I don't want to have that stress on my back of knowing that I never did tell that person I was sorry before they passed. Because that stuff's still going to be there. You got to get it straight now. You got to tell somebody now. That's why I said earlier, it's good for us to say sometimes to the Lord, Lord, it's me, it's me. It's me, oh Lord. It's not somebody else. It's not because somebody said something. It's not because somebody done something. It's me, Lord. Please forgive me. And go and get it straight with that person. Now, the latter part of that says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effectual is dealing with the inner man. Both of them is really, but the effectual is really digging deep within the inner man, because there's something about the inside wants to really go and try to get this right. It is bothering you so bad. It is pressing you to go to that person, but yet you have not yet made this effort. But that's when the fervent prayer comes in. Because the fervent prayer is the actual action of the effectual prayer. The fervent prayer is the action indicating that I'm going to take that step. Something is trying to keep me from getting there, but I'm going to take that step. And every time I try to take one step forward, something puts me back. Because the devil don't want you to go get your mess straight. So he's trying to push you back. And every time I try to take a step forward, the devil would push me two steps back. But I got to keep pressing toward the prize of the mark that is in Christ Jesus. I got to press my way, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man indicates that you can't make yourself righteous. You're not righteous on your own. You're not righteous because somebody said you are. You're only righteous in the eyes of God. So when you take the effectual, the stuff that's inside you, stirring you up, trying to get you ready, and then the fervent prayer is pushing you on to go toward that person. The effectual and the fervent prayer is working together just like faith. It's the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And all because we got to go through these processes. God is trying to make us a better people than what we are. And we ask the question. I ask you the question, what happens after you pray? You go get some stuff right. God's going to bless you. But what really happens, I'm going to slow my roll because I'm going to show you what happens after you pray, than to tell you what happens after you pray. I hope they don't get mad. This is the conclusion of my message. I'm just going to use a few people. Pastor Perkins, Sister, First Lady Perkins, during the loss of their son, they've been there. They've been here in the church. Never gave up. Never stopped worshiping God. Never stopped depending on God. Matter of fact, Pastor taught a lesson with the I Am Church. It was so powerful that you didn't know he was going through something. First Lady always say this. Bread of heaven, then, is it good that you don't look like what you're going through? And aren't you glad you don't look like what you're going through, saints? But guess what? None of that never would have happened to after they prayed. It was after prayer. The power of the after prayer. It never would have happened to after he prayed, because he had to pray and press his way through. He couldn't have made it on his own strength. But where he's weak, God made him strong. And if you notice something about his preaching is more powerful than it was, than it had ever been in his life. Because he never stopped. God gave him a double portion. When you press your way, God will give you more than what you asked for. Sister Cartwright waited for years for a kidney. She probably like the woman with the issue of blood for 12 long years. Hers wasn't that long, but I think she said about 7. I'm not sure, but However long it was, to her it was a long time. But I could never remember that Sunday. After she left church, this is her testimony. This is what she told us, that she had already received a call to pack up and come to the hospital because they were going to prepare her for surgery. But before she left the church, we prayed. The year she'd been going through, what she was going through, she prayed, her family prayed, the church prayed, the man of God prayed, and it never would have happened until after we prayed. Okay, that's it. I got a friend, Minister Haley, my best friend, had three strokes. They weren't minor stroke, they were major stroke. We pray. Each time he ended up in the hospital, we pray, we pray, and we pray, and we pray. I went up to see him. The times I didn't go see him, I was at home praying. And now his ministry is more powerful than it was before he had his stroke. I've never seen a man that had three major strokes and preached powerful like that after we prayed. The little baby, Sister Samantha. Now, this wasn't me. The only reason I'm bringing this up, Minister Malone, but thank you. The Lord put this on my heart a few weeks ago. I have never, ever called Minister Malone's phone. Never. Matter of fact, I done called Pastor three times to ask him what her number was. Some kind of way I just deleted her number. I said, no, it's not. And this is just me, Pastor. No, I told him that I don't feel right calling the sisters. Now, I had called Sister Cartwright just to pray for her, but never said nothing out of the way to her. I talked to one more sister and never said nothing out of the way to her. But this is just me. This is how I feel. But the Lord pressed this on my heart to call. I didn't know what I was going to say. But that was at Monday. And as I was talking with her, and she said she was waiting on the doctor, the Lord put the words in my mouth and said, Minister Malone, suppose the doctors come in here and tell you that they don't find no reason why the baby needs to be in the hospital. She had been in there for a couple of weeks. We don't see no reason why she need to be in the hospital anymore. I said, you're going to tear that hospital up. They're going to give you a bill. And we were joking like that. And she said, you're right, Ed. She said, you're right. Didn't happen that day, but the next morning she called me. She said, Ed Holden. Now her cry that Monday was different than her cry that Tuesday. Isn't it something that the tears of pain is different than the tears of joy? The tears of joy is something delightful. And she called with a little tears in her, and she said, Etta Holden, she said, I ain't talking to you no more. She said, they say my baby can go home today. What'd you do? I said, we just talked to the Lord. But it didn't happen to after we pray. After we pray. This is what happens after you pray. So if you ever want to know what happens after prayer, talk to the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And he shall strengthen your heart after you pray. May God bless you.